Yo, what up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. It is right after the Warriors take out the Oklahoma City Thunder, best team in the NBA, give them their 10th loss of the year. A night where you're assuming this is just a scheduled loss after the Warriors' second team scraps together a hard-fought win last night against the Jazz. Thunder, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander coming into town. SGA bringing his best game, you know, a 52-point burger on us. Got to assume, hey, this is a 500 Warriors team, scheduled loss. Not the case. The Dubs show that they have some fight, show they have some life, show they have a little ceiling here, and that they're a team to be reckoned with if they can sneak into a playoff series. I know that the Thunder sure do not want the Warriors to sneak into that 8 seed and have to play them in the first round. I mean, the Thunder are great, and you know, it took every bit of fight and some good bounces and, you know, just every bit of fortune that you could possibly muster. But the Warriors beat the Thunder for the second time on the season. Warriors more shorthanded in this. Obviously, the Thunder are missing Chet Holmgren, but they've been the best team in the NBA without him, and the Warriors missing Draymond, Kuminga, and, you know, it just didn't matter. The Warriors get a win despite a lot of things, you know, in this game. The optics, you know, I'm going to go through some of them, and you're going to say, how do the Warriors win? And I'll tell you in just a sec, but, you know, at halftime, SGA has 31 points and a half at the half, and Curry only has 4. Thunder have 17 offensive rebounds. Warriors only shot 34% from 3 in the game. You know, the Thunder have the best defense in the league, and the Warriors still managed to drop 116. How did they do it? They, for once, used some home energy, and they fought. They were dogs in this one. Their role players showed up, created shots, created extra possessions. Despite getting out-rebounded pretty handily, they battled for everything they could. I mean, despite sending SGA to the line, how many times? He was 18 of 21 from the line. But guess what? The Warriors got to the line more in this game. And guess what? The Warriors shot a higher percentage from the line than the Thunder. You know, who essentially the Thunder had a 91% free throw shooter to the line, taking almost, what was it, 21 of their 25 free throws. Warriors got there 28 times with the likes of GP2 making 5 of 5, Looney making 8 of 9, and they shoot 82% from the line on 28 shots. I mean, you could say the game was won there. And you have to credit the Warriors for attacking relentlessly. You know, this game both ways was just the Warriors wanting it more again on the back end of a back-to-back. A game where, you know, Andrew Wiggins played 34 minutes last night, played 38 in this one, guarded Jalen Williams the entire game, and obviously a bunch of SGA, and was just working on both sides of the court. Ended up dropping 27 points, was a team high plus 14. Andrew Wiggins, you are a stud. You are in as good a shape as I've seen you since early in your career, and you're just clearly becoming one of the best two-way players. Not, you know, not as a an offensive stud or number one scorer, but just as, you know, as, you know, you, as if you want to consider him a role player, he's as good of a role player 3D guy as you're going to get. And I just love watching the battle with him and Jalen Williams, who also is one of the best two-way players in the league. And they battled, and they, you know, they were pretty much what Williams scored 26, Wiggins had 27, back and forth all night. A great matchup between two of the premier 3D, and that's, you know, that's almost underselling it, but two of the best kind of complementary pieces in the West and in the NBA. But let's not get it confused. Kevon Looney was the player of the game by far. A night where Steve Kerr started Quentin Post, said, hey, we're going to go small. Well, not small, but we're going to space the floor and we're going to turn this into an offensive game. Post, not his best game. He only ended up playing 8 minutes. Just the Thunder took away that pick and pop, and you could just tell the Warriors were kind of in disarray to get offense going. And if you're not getting offense out of Post, you know, he just getting attacked in that first quarter relentlessly by SGA. So credit to Kerr for abandoning the strategy and just going to Looney, who played 25 minutes. TJD didn't even play. I think probably still a good decision, despite maybe needing a little bit of rim protection in this one. But Looney, makes Kerr's decision easy. Has maybe his best game of the season. 18 points. He had four blocks. Great at the line. Just fantastic defense and just battled for everything. And man, I gotta say, I love the Loon Dog. He's just, you know, every now and then he comes through and just, you know, basically wins you a game with again, energy, effort, just IQ, and just some grit, and just that playing with that force that, you know, the home crowd and the role players really, you know, got up in this one and won us the game. So, you know, Loon, I don't want to even think about the fact that he has an expiring contract, and you know, there's all these talks of Butler and whoever else you want to talk about maybe coming in. You having to send out a Levine coming in. You have to send out all these expiring contracts. We got to do what we got to do, but I would hate to lose Looney because of nights like tonight. Just got to love the guy. And you know, if this is one, sadly, maybe one last hurrah for Looney, at least it was a good one. And you see what he can do to carry the Warriors past the best team in the NBA. I thought Gary Payton was great in this. He played 25 minutes. He had 15 points. And, you know, I guess the theme is that a lot of these Warriors role players are dogs, right? You know, they're going to bring it on defense. You know that, you know, they're going to get you extra possessions. You know, I'm talking about guys like Looney, like Pajemski, like GP2, like Schroeder, you know, guys that are going to play hard. But a lot of these times, you know, the offense is the reason why, you know, it's just been so sporadic and it's hard to keep these guys on the floor. Just, you know, when they're giving effort, but just not shooting the ball well and not creating shots. In this one, you got the best version of all those guys, right? We talked about Looney. Schroeder had an amazing game on both sides of the ball. He did a good job on SGA, making him work at least for it. And, you know, Schroeder only had 9 points, but he hit, you know, a big three, 50% from the field. And, you know, he worked, he had seven assists. I thought he handled the hell out of the ball and, you know, was able to kind of keep Curry just, you know, fresh enough to really kind of pull us through at the end. And that's why you get Schroeder, right? To take the ball, you know, out of Steph's hands, let Steph play off ball a little bit. You just kind of take some of that burden and usage off of him, so that way he can have these big fourth quarters and big second halves. And I also thought Pajemski has been playing amazing. You know, just the last two games, because we didn't really cover the Jazz game here on Stack and Dubs. Pajemski, you know, last night I think he was 27-6. And you know, tonight he had 11 points, you know, shot well from the field, you know, he's shooting that three confidently, and you know, he's pushing the pace, he's pushing everything, no turnovers, three assists, but he's just creating, he's fighting for rebounds. You know, I think we're seeing the best version of Pajemski that we saw last year. And then maybe a little bit more now that he's actually shooting. I think he's over like 43% from three over the last, I don't even know how many games. I don't want to give you a wrong number, but it's, you know, it's starting to become a decent sample size, dating back to before he had his abdomen injury. So, you know, Pajemski apology tour. You know, I like to try to not be short-sighted and, you know, look at his early season slump and be like, man, did we miss on this guy? Because, you know, we were all thinking it. But, you know, this is the NBA. You know, even Steph Curry goes through slumps, and you know, things change when you start making shots, right? Your confidence changes, you make shots. Now all of a sudden you're getting, you know, you're able to blow by guys and get to the lane. The game slows down for you. You're just playing with more confidence more than anything else. And that also translates to the defensive side of the ball. So I thought Pajemski, even though he only played 18 minutes, you know, a great back-to-back for him, especially coming off abdomen injury, which, you know, you couldn't have stayed in great shape, you know, with an ab injury. So to be able to suck it up, play two very good games, two winning games for the Warriors, hats off to Pajemski. And, you know, I could shower the whole roster with compliments, but, you know, I just want to say, you know, it was great to see some shot creation, whether it was Pajemski, Schroeder, who those two have played really well in the non-Steph minutes. You know, you didn't get a huge drought out of the Warriors with or without Steph on the court at any point in this. And, you know, it's amazing how much that helps you win games when you don't go on 5-minute droughts, which I believe the Warriors have like 16 5-plus minute field goal droughts this season, which is like three or four more than any other team, and just by a lot. And so being able to, you know, create shots from the bench, from Wiggins being able to hit some tough shots. He shot well from three. You know, Wiggins is, I think he was 5 for 8 from three. And, you know, a lot of them were tough end of shot clock. And the Warriors just found ways to kind of get in the lane, a lot of back cuts, able to get to the line and, just really generating much better looks. Like, how many times are the Warriors really even up against the end of the shot clock having to basically throw a possession away? Not that many. How many turnovers did we have? 15. I mean, that's pretty standard. It's still a lot of turnovers. It was more than the Thunder had. And, that all being said, against, again, the NBA's best defense, the Warriors dropped 116 points. So, oh man, it's just great to see that the Warriors, at a time in the season where, I think a lot of people were kind of losing hope for the upside of this team. And, you can win a game here or there, but to show that you can beat the Thunder, number one team in the West, again, I'll say it, on a night where SGA went off and had 52 points, on a night where Jalen Williams was still very good, and he had 26, we talked about. Isaiah Joe shot really well, hit five threes. You're giving up 17 offensive rebounds. We didn't shoot extraordinarily well, and we're missing Dre and Kuminga, maybe our second and third best players, and with no disrespect to Wiggins, so maybe our third and fourth best players, and the Warriors still find a way to win, and it's just, the fight and just the resolve. I just love to see it. I'm excited. You can hear it in my voice. I know you are too. And there's not much more to say about this than other than we should enjoy this one. It's to see Curry kind of come to life at the end. I was thinking about how I was going to talk about, Steph Curry really just struggling to find separation, struggling to find good shots, open shots. And, that was the case. But then you remember that Steph Curry can still hit very hard shots. And towards the end of the game, he's still able to get just enough separation. And, it's something that when, if they can bring in, another, I mean, it doesn't have to be a star, just another 18-point score just to space the court. I think you're going to get to see a lot better out of Steph because he is struggling to separate. But hey, you know what? It was against the NBA's best defense again, so it's all good. Whew. Well, guys, we're on a little win streak, and that means we are stacking dubs. So it's nice to be back. We're only a few games out of the play-in, but also getting back straight into the sixth seed in the playoffs. I think we are only two and a half, maybe three games back of that. So stole win here makes up for, we can point at any one bad loss that we've had recently, but this kind of offsets it and just gives this team confidence. Role players starting to emerge, young players starting to emerge. Moody wasn't great in this one, but I thought, he showed some decent things, and he's been getting better as of late. Gi Santos also not his best game, but he's been great lately, and he had seven rebounds. He's also one of those dogs that, if he has it going shooting from the outside, now he can play 25 minutes and stay on the floor and give you some hustle on defense. So, I guess this is the mark of, a kind of mid-tier team where your role players are role players, right? Like, you're gonna have at any point, like two or three of them are gonna have it going and be playing really well. And you're gonna, especially the young guys, you're gonna be optimistic that, hey, if everyone else can kind of just come on board, now we got something cooking like early in the season. But then you also have a few guys that are gonna be slumping, right? Like early in the game, I thought Buddy Hield was just, he's just been trending down for a while, but he had a good spurt to start the second half. He is still struggling a bit, but his contribution tonight, he actually played pretty well in limited time, and I think we're going to start seeing him lose a little bit of minutes, especially as Moody Pajemski start to emerge a little bit. But I guess my point is, it'd be nice to have a few more players that you can just plug in, like an Andrew Wiggins, and he's going to give you 30 minutes rather than having to shuffle around these guys who may have it one night, may not have it going the other. And that's what happens when you have a lot of role players that just aren't consistent shooters, aren't consistent shot creators. But that's where we're hoping that hopefully Schroeder and Pajemski, who, as Pod said after, I forget which game, but they had a after the Sacramento game, had a 90-minute car ride together. And, you're able to just kind of like unload some basketball knowledge, some pep talk, motivation. Basically, just kind of get each other going and believing again. And, those maybe are the moments that you need just to kind of reset yourself, rebuild your confidence, and start to, be a better player, better version of yourself, and just, be a confident shooter. And that's what we've been getting out of those two lately. So love to see it. Let's see if we can start to string things together. Don't forget, last year, Draymond Green, after an extended absence due to different reasons, returns end of January, and the Warriors finish the season. Oh, what was it, 26-9 at that point? And when we're a very good defense, obviously, and Steph didn't play great, but they still had, they're still winning games. Kuminga had a huge stretch, so not unreasonable to think that this team could be trending up, especially as the trade deadline comes in. Maybe you make a move in the margins. Just quickly, I don't want to see Wiggins and but the Wiggins in a Butler trade. Jimmy Butler, sure, I guess you could say he's an upgrade on Wiggins at this point, but after nights like tonight, it's marginal. You're getting maybe the best version of Wiggins we've seen, to be honest. And Butler is just, who knows what you're getting with Butler at this point, both on, off the court. All you know is that you're committing to that contract. You're committing to a guy that's 7 6 7 years older than Wiggins. You're getting a lot more upside with Butler if he's going to give you that, but you're getting a guy that's missed a lot of games due to injury. So again, there's just too many question marks for that to basically be your all-in move, because if you do that move, not only are you losing Wiggins, but you're handcuffing yourself for any subsequent moves, and just praying that Jimmy Butler can be an all-NBA type player, and he's the fit that the Warriors need. And you lose spacing, right? Wiggins is shooting the hell out of the ball, and you lose spacing. How was a Jimmy Butler, Kuminga, Draymond, and whoever you want to play at the other wing spot, how's the spacing work there? Like, how is that supposed to help Steph Curry? Sure, even if you go get a stretch five, it's like that's still not the best spacing, although your offense is a little bit better. But anyways, my point is, let's hold on to Wiggins here. I could be talked into a LaVine move just because LaVine does give you that a little more explosive creation, shooting, spacing. I mean, he really hurts you defensively if you're losing Wiggins and that. But if there's any way to try to keep Wiggins and bring in LaVine, which I think there's a very backdoor way to do it, I would like to hold on to Wiggins. So we'll leave you with that. It's only a week till trade deadline, so I'll be back again next in a couple of days, and we'll talk a little bit more trades and as other options start to come to light. I'm still on board with a Vucevic move, depending on what it costs. If it has to be a protected first round pick, heavily protected. I know our second round picks are pretty weak, so heavily protected. If it conveys to a very late first, or eventually gets turns into a weak pick, we will live with that, and just kind of make the salaries work. But hopefully don't send out Looney, because love that guy. And after nights like tonight, it's hard to send out GP2's expiring contract too. And Schroeder also had a good night. So, we're talking about all the guys with expiring contracts who you essentially lose for nothing at the end of the season if you aren't able to use them as salary filler at the deadline now. Those are the guys that won you this game against the Thunder. So again, it's so hard to not get caught up in winning style basketball, and to look at from a higher level view. Okay, guys, enjoy it. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy beating and becoming the best team in the NBA, at least for tonight. Love you guys. Love my Dubs, and just good to be back on the good side of maybe our best win of the season, at least definitely in quite some time. All right, I'll talk to you next time. I've been Christian. Peace, love, and stacking Dubs.